tailgate to stay fast enough. You need for the strength of you. If I had a tattoo, would you let me hang with you? Ha, but it don't rub off.
All right, drop what you're doing right now. I don't care what it is. I don't
put it down.
I don't care if you're in the middle of making a meringue. It's over.
This. I don't care if you're whipping eggs, Martha. It's a casserole, Sheila. It'll stay.
Yeah, you're done. It's time for TWIM, everyone.
Well, put it in a Tupperware. I'll eat it when I get home.
And many of you make the mistake of using this as background entertainment.
Put the coffee down.
This Week in Mormons requires active engagement, where you will sit down with your device, with no other distractions, and listen as we guide
Jeff,
you.
I feel I speak for both of us when I say we'd both like to be engaged to you, our listener. Thank you.
I don't want to
engage with us.
I have been engaged. I don't want to be again. I'm good. I'm okay.
Well, was the engagement the hardest part? Well, like a lot of people I've heard lately that being engaged is the worst, and being married, great. Engaged, awful.
I think being engaged is perfectly fun, but there's just there's a lot more. There's just stress in planning a wedding. There's just a lot
of
stuff to do.
How many pictures did you take giving her a piggyback ride?
Oh,
I feel
countless.
Like that's mostly what being engaged is about.
Basically, during the entire engagement, I refused to wear anything other than denim and to sit on anything other than bales of hay. That was
you have your demands.
Yeah. I said, I'm engaged, honey. This is the lifestyle we have to. We can do whatever afterwards, but that's it. Put down your phone, Al. I demand your attention.
Hey, I was trying to get us a guest tonight. We got stood up by our guest. And so I was scrambling to find a new guest. And,
were you really? And, you were trying to find a new
guest? Yeah. No, yeah. I had some feelers out, Jeff. I just wanted to see if anybody's doing nothing on a Wednesday night. Is that so crazy?
Who else is going to come be our guest right now?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of people could have been our guest. Lou Ferrigno?
Lou Ferrigno would be delightful. Danielle, you can come be our guest if you want.
No.
Okay.
Jeff, that's weird. Okay, actually, yeah.
You can come sit in. Danielle, there was a time when I lost my voice and we thought it was going to be awesome if Danielle had to sit here and act as proxy while we listened to you and then I wrote to her what to say back. And we would have done a whole show that way.
Okay. Well, I like that.
It would have been
that
awesome.
Would have been fun.
Danielle's my wife, everyone, if you're just tuning in. And she's hot. That's really all.
Neither of those things are true. Her name is Shirley and she's fat.
It's not true. My wife is the loveliest person I know. Tonight we dined.
Jeff,
upon
you have
kebab.
To say that. She's sitting right there.
I say,
you have
all
to say
I ever
that.
Do is speak highly of my wife. It doesn't matter
because
if she's here
you,
or not.
No. Because you know she's listening.
She doesn't.
She screams all of
I
our podcasts.
I don't know that she's listening. There are times when I'm
there
talking to her.
There was a time when you were honest, Jeff, and you would say what you felt.
No, this is,
and now, that is not
this is
time.
Marriage, Al. There are times you can be looking your spouse in the eye saying something, and no one internalizes what's happening because this is what happens in life. So just because she's sitting right next to me right now is not proof that she is actually listening to what I'm saying. See, I'm even looking at her right now. She doesn't even appear to acknowledge this entire conversation.
Jeff is See? Married to a vegetable.
See?
She has to know.
Watch
she,
it.
She just can't comprehend what's going on around her. Adorable. As adorable as all get out. I'll give you that,
Well,
Jeff.
I'd rather be,
what a
I'd
sweetheart.
Rather be, as you say, married to a vegetable than single in Missouri. Am I right, everyone?
Hey! All right. I'll give you that.
I will not stand for ill speaking of my wife. She is a dear to me, and I adore her.
She is a dear heart. She is a sweetie. If you're... all right, what was that case a number of years ago? The Terry Schiavo? I'm trying to think. What was that? The woman that was in Florida that like wanted to die, but they couldn't die. Wasn't that a
thing? Yeah, that was Terry Schiavo, but why are you bringing that up?
Well, we went to vegetable, and then I was making the jump. And I was just, my mind, I have a very active imagination. I was thinking, what if, Jeff, what if that was you? And your wife was the Terry Schiavo. Would you want to pull the cord on
this
your
is the
wife?
Worst just, conversation we've ever had.
I just feel like, I mean, as a hypothetical, would you murder your wife? Would you pull the plug on her life support, Jeff, if she was in that state? If she really only could watch TV.
I'm
going to
say what I always say in situations like this. I will direct you to the president's remarks.
Who's what? What did the president say?
Exactly. I just messed you up. I was born to be a press secretary. Look at me.
You're great. No, you're like a CJ Craig.
I know exactly what I'm. CJ's the best. Oh, I love CJ.
She really was.
CJ and Danny. She was were so much better.
She was
than
much
Ross
better before she was the chief of staff. Can we agree on that? Or before she took Leo's job, she was way better. You needed Leo in there. Leo, no one could corral like Leo.
No, Leo's the man. He's Leo.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Enough about you and your weirdly...
You will be happy to know, after making fun of me for weeks, we don't have to spend much time on this, but I finally saw Interstellar. I went and saw it.
Yes! Did you love it?
I thought it was a very, very well-done, interesting film. I'm still processing it, I guess. But as I reflect upon it, I thought it was a very good film, yes.
Good. So here,
oh,
here's
sorry,
a great...
Tune out right now, people. If you haven't seen it, don't want to hear spoilers. Tune out for the next, I don't know, 2 minutes or something.
No,
like that.
You don't have to announce spoiler alert after it's been open for 2 months.
It's been open for a month, and I just try to give people the chance. I give everyone a chance.
Spoiler alert.
Everyone
does. They go to space.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
This is what I loved about it, though. There's a lot of doctrine in our church, like from the beginning, like Joseph Smith Brigham Young style doctrine about how God interacts with time, how God perceives that, how the earth, when it's in its celestial state, is moved. It's moved, physically moved to a new location to be near God, and that is when it's celestialized. It goes there, and then we are able to interact with God. Like there's elements of it talks about the stars will fall as the earth is moved, all that kind of stuff. And you're like, you listen to this, you read some of these prophecies and stuff, or some of these discourses they give on these things. You're just like, man, that's some weird stuff. Do we really believe that? That's kind of crazy. And then you get this whole movie about the laws of gravity. And time, that's
the one thing. Time plays a very big role in the film.
It was fascinating to me.
Time is a tangible, malleable product quantity in that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And like, I mean, to be able to there's a part at the end where he's looking in, he's sort of in front of this entire balance of time represented. I forget what the box is called in the fifth dimension, but
he's in a tesseract.
Which is
thrown around in many comic book films as well. It's a popular term.
And so he's sitting in there and he's looking at all these different time snapshots of his life and where he was and all this kind of stuff. And as he's interacting with that, my thought is like this. If this was at all representative of how God sees us, this makes sense about like not being, you know, God knowing what we'll decide in a situation without forcing us. I don't believe in fate. I don't believe that every decision I make is destined. I don't believe in that. But I do believe that God sort of knows us well enough that he'll know what decision we make. And it's always been sort of a gray area of like, I believe this, but I don't understand how to explain it exactly. And this was a great moment where I was like, aha, this is what's going on. Because time and all that stuff has never God can sort of fast forward. He sees what's going on. He knows how this all goes. I get it. A second in God's time, it's like 100 years on ours. I mean, we'd throw this stuff around and it was very like dreamy. Like this is what the future is.
Yeah.
And now we're like, oh no, he just went to the big water planet where an hour was like, it was 8 hours. And you get back and that dude had been there for 26 years. And you're like, oh, I see.
Yeah. Well, thinking of time itself as a dimension is a very fascinating way of looking at things. That's what it is.
The bigger question is on that wave planet. Why did that dude not just get back in the spaceship?
Oh, because someone had to die.
But you got what's a face? She's out in the middle, and the guy is standing at the spaceship, and he's just like, "I stay here."
Yeah,
and get drowned.
And he's the closest one. He could have been like, "All right, okay, I'll hop on."
He could have got on. Which classic? I mean, the first thing you learn in flight school is do not assist putting other people's masks on until you've secured your own. I mean, I know this, and I've flown a fraction of the amount of time an astronaut's going to fly.
And
this guy forgets to secure his own safety before helping others. I mean, what is he doing?
He's never watched the flight safety video. Just doesn't know.
That's fair.
But, see, even he...
Dude, I'm so glad you've seen it, Jeff. I want to have, like, deep, meaningful conversation. Like, I'm to the point now where when I go to the IMAX theater, I'm bringing my scriptures next time. I'm going to bring my scriptures. We're going to just have a DNC sesh and just really dive in.
Okay.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. It was good, and I saw it on, like, sort of IMAX. Interstellar was actually, this is more filmic. It came out on six different formats in which it could be viewed. A lot of ways. So I didn't get to see it on full-blown 70mm IMAX, which I would have preferred, but I still saw it on digital IMAX, which was okay. It was fun.
They say that like he shot different scenes and using IMAX, different scenes using standard film.
Yeah, Christopher Nolan is a big believer in regular film. So he shot about an hour of the movie in IMAX, which if you know, pure IMAX is almost like a square with its aspect ratio. And if you ever saw The Dark Knight Rises or other movies like that, on a real IMAX, it'll switch into this giant full screen. And then when he's back on 35mm, it'll be letterboxed again. So it was a good time, and I love that you had so many spiritual insights from it, Al. I think
it's a film that makes you think. Watch it, especially like growing up sort of loving these weird fruity comments that people would make and trying to understand like what heaven's going to be like. I mean, this was my hobby as a child. But there was so much that was familiar to me as I'm watching this where I'm like, that's like the thing.
Well, I love the thoughts of time as a dimension, because I think then you take that in with concepts of creationism. And it says to me right there, like, sure, like perhaps it's not just metaphorical that a day might have been 1,000-odd years or whatever we believe it to be during a creative period. But a day could have literally been a day for God. Could have been thousands of years, millions of years, for all we know, in Earth time.
You know, the great thing about Interstellar is every time I go, Jeff, I learn something new. And you know, as long as we attend Interstellar once a week,
for sure.
I feel like we will continue to learn. Imagine if the Temple movie was Interstellar. How great would that be? Can we petition to just get one swap? I mean, I just want, like, the option where, you know, normally you show up and you're like, please give me the brown-haired Eve. Please.
Just be like, can you guys just like please just license some of the space footage from Christopher Nolan? That's all we ask.
But like, what if you showed up and you're like, it's the Matt Damon one? Oh my gosh. All right. Give me Matthew McConaughey. Let's go. I would love the Temple 1,000 times or more.
So happy for you right now.
It's just a suggestion. It doesn't have to be this way.
Sure. Well, I do feel like one of the actors in one of the new ones is evocative of Ryan Reynolds, so that distracts me when I go and see it.
All you can see is the fat guy on Just Friends.
Yep, pretty much.
that's my cross.
Guys, getting to some serious news. They are going to open a DI in Gilbert, Arizona. Just wanted to let you Gilbertites know it's happening.
Wait, what's happening? Are we already leaving the dilly-dallying part of our show?
I'm going to pepper in the dilly-dallying throughout the show now.
Okay, good. All right. Well, you keep doing that. Anyway, Jeff, what exciting things did you do this weekend?
Well, I learned about the church submitting a plan to open a DI in Gilbert. That's the main.
So, is this the first DI outside of the Utah?
Who cares?
Idaho,
what did I do? I want to tell you about how much I love home teaching. This is not just a plug. But the spirit can be felt when we do home teaching properly, brethren. I am a firm believer in the value of the home teaching program. I went home teaching tonight, right before we recorded, came back, and it was a fantastically, spiritually edifying experience. It was wonderful. And it's not that everything in life has to be that way, but when we are actively engaged in the work of the kingdom, when that is what we seek to accomplish first and foremost, it's amazing how different we feel.
Hold on, this was your big thing this week. You went home teaching.
No, that was just tonight. Why does every week have to be a big thing? Life is all about the little victories, Al. Not all of us can just yell at employees all day and make them feel bad about themselves.
I don't believe that at all. Little victories, Jeff?
I'm trying to think of anything grand or anything ostensibly grand that's happened since we last recorded, and nothing in particular comes to mind, but I've had a very delightful week. I had a wonderful Sabbath on Sunday.
You've had a delightful week with your vegetable of a wife.
Sunday was outstanding.
You guys together, you just sit and stare at the TV, don't you?
No.
No wonder you're. No, never mind.
I sit on our balcony. I sit on our balcony and I burn pictures of you. That's what I do.
That's fair. That's good. That's good.
I use pictures.
I'm excited. I'll be out there with you in 2 weeks, Jeff. We can sit on the balcony together and burn effigies.
Good. Well, I look forward to it. We'll get t-shirts printed with your face on them. And then we will stand outside of Temple Square during conference and just march with t-shirts of you as if it's some kind of protest that doesn't mean anything.
I was at Temple Square. I went and saw the lights on Saturday.
Yeah.
And they have all the protesters standing around there, and it's one of my favorite things. Not one of my favorite, but I am entertained. It's just pretending that they have a lisp and like trying to correct their lisp as they try and shout at me.
You're very mature. You are a beacon.
It's a paragon. I'm not sure that this is what Jesus would do, but I just feel like sort of doing exercises to correct the syllabiness is something that he might offer to people that he could hear. Just an idea. But the Temple Square looks lovely. Just delightful.
It is. It's a nice thing to experience. It's great.
Have you gone to your Washington, D.C. temple lights?
We haven't been up yet for the lights. I do, and it's nice. They do stuff in the D.C. temple, the visitor center.
So you chose to sit at home staring instead of going to the D.C.
No, burning
temple.
Pictures of you. How else do I explain this? This takes hours. They smolder.
No matter how long we've been friends, Jeff, I just will never understand your marriage and your happiness. You are distinctly happy. You're a happy man. Like I tease you about it a little bit, but I can tell you are significantly happier now than you were even 2 years ago.
Well, it's not yours to necessarily understand. Don't you realize that so much of my marriage is just private between my wife and I? And then we just I enjoy our own private relationship, our inside jokes, the things we laugh about. Those are the things I love. I love them more than you, Al. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is I can appreciate that stuff exists. Yada 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 yada. But like, I don't understand.
But
why
if you want any big news, I've started writing for a relatively prominent Android blog called Talk Android, which has been around for a long time. So if anyone's into Android stuff and you want to read my works, hit it up.
I'm gonna buy you an iPhone just to spite you now.
Please do.
I'm gonna buy it for you, and it's gonna be way better than the Android that you're using. And you'll feel really guilty because you're an Android fanboy, and you'll have to start using the iPhone 6.
Well, I had an iPhone for work, but if you will send me an iPhone 6, I promise I will use it.
And will you write about it?
Sure, I'll write Android columns about the iPhone. I'll get it done.
This is how we get them. This is how we get
them. I'm down. So whatever. So life's good.
That's good, man. All right.
Also,
I guess we can talk about
did you know that BYU? Big news from USA Today, everyone, if my page, if it'll load. So did you know that the BYU Cougars get a strong level of support on the road? Did you know that? Yeah. Wherever they go.
I don't know if you can hear this. This is me yawning about
BYU fans show up at every place, no matter where you are. They are there to root on their Cougars. It's a miracle.
Thank you. Thank you, USA Today, for talking about the fact that there's a distributed fan base. It's sort of like how Notre Dame can go anywhere, and they got Catholics in the crowd.
Yeah.
Well done, BYU. Way
to
have
just want, after
a
the
religious
DI,
affiliation.
I'm leaving off with all the lesser news this week. That way, when I get to the heavy stuff, it's it really makes it mad. Go with
Did you know Xavier can travel around, and it gets all kinds of Lutheran support? Well done.
That is a tiny campus, by the way. I've been out there.
It's not the size of the campus that matters, Jeff. It's how you teach on it.
That's a lovely adage, but I disagree. I disagree.
Can we talk for a minute about this weird racist, quasi-racist missionary that you found?
Sure.
I feel like he's entertaining.
Yeah, he's great. I love him. I love him.
Jeff just randomly found, you know, missionaries will do those pictures of like they're getting ready to go and they take like glamour shots of themselves, fake riding a bicycle or fake teaching somebody about Jesus or fake reading the scriptures and fake praying.
Fake getting spit on, fake getting knives pulled on them. Yeah, all the stuff that happens.
that kind of thing. Well, he found one. This elder, this sweet elder, is on his way to Japan. He is a weirdo, I believe is the term we'd use. I mean, if you look at his other pictures and you're like, oh, I get it. Like, this man clearly has no idea that other people will be looking at this someday when he's trying to be a professional, and that the internet lives forever. He just doesn't understand that. And so like, this isn't surprising to see coming from him, but he's got like, I mean, he's just doing like weird, trying to look like, well, I don't know, goofy teenager.
Well, the worst one he does is when he's holding a Japanese flag and making a peace sign and kind of doing a squinting his eyes and smiling. I love that some people commented on our Facebook page saying like, I make that same kind of face when I get to have a red velvet cheesecake. I'm like, I don't think he's making the face. I don't think he said, guys, I'm now going to make my I'm really excited for dessert face. He's doing a Japanese caricature, people. That's what's going on here.
That's why this is not okay. And that, and later he came out and he apologized for his antics. I think it's just funny. I think it's just this random bit of like, so when we lower the age to 18, these are the unanticipated side effects of like 18-year-olds being 18-year-olds.
The thing, though, is what parents cleared stuff like this? And I think it's really been funny on our Facebook wall, those that have given us flack as if we are, you know, part of the media today. Because, yeah, right, okay. For one, it's funny. It's also terrible because what parents teach their kid, you should totally take that borderline racist photo with the flag and the peace sign, because that's going to be great. That's going to live for posterity, and everyone's going to revere you for it. I mean, where are the safeguards of parenting? This is why we can't rely on society to teach our kids. This is why we need strong parents, everyone. So you don't get mystery elder doing this. Also, if you want to take any beef with stuff, he capitalized the D in day on the church's name, which is incorrect.
No.
Incorrect. Moreover, they're clearly having an open house, and the church has told us to not have open houses on farewells. Or
this
even call them farewells.
All the way to good luck making it through your mission, boy.
I'm sure he'll do fine. I mean,
this is how Jeff and I are supportive. We know him very well, and so this is like camaraderie.
Yeah, that's it.
Don't freak out, people.
Yeah, I'm not. Some of the comments we receive are pretty funny. The spirit of Doctrine and Covenants 4288 requires that we first address this offense in private, but we have committed cyberbullying, Al.
That's fair. That's fair. So, Jeff is a cyberbully.
I'm the original cyberbully.
Yeah. No, that's
all
that's
I do is go
accurate.
On Facebook and try to right wrongs, and everyone's perceived this is what happens in Facebook. You try to fix things, and you're just the cyber bully. It's sad.
Jeff is passionate about fixing people that are wrong on the internet.
Yeah, we've talked about this though. Anyway, it's not like this is the biggest news ever, but and the kid apologized because he knew he got flack for it, and that's whatever. He'll have a great mission. He'll grow up. He'll have a good time for 2 years. I'm sure it'll be. Everyone wins in the end, except for the people of Japan. But everyone wins in the end.
Well, they mostly win. Anyway, that's neither here.
Well, we already got the tickets.
Let's see. What else? What other great things are going on? We have Elder Eyring has become unaffiliated. He's now an unaffiliated voter. This is news. Dieter Uchtdorf affiliated himself with the Republican Party in order to vote in the primaries in Utah and then unaffiliated again. We have two unaffiliated members of the or apostles.
That is growth, I believe. No, I think there's no. I think more are unaffiliated. Last time we talked about this, no, six are unaffiliated. So of the first presidency and the 12, nine are Republicans and six are unaffiliated.
Well, I like it. I feel like they need to be unaffiliated in order to not endorse anything.
Yeah. Shouldn't that be a requirement? I know we encourage voting in our faith, and that's good and fine. But I don't know who's to say, I guess, but is there any part of you that feels like you would be more comfortable if the top leadership in our church were all politically unaffiliated? It's hard because they live in Utah, and Utah is closed primaries. So that's why President Uchtdorf, for example, registered Republican, voted in the primary, then unregistered Republican.
We need to know who he endorsed. This could swing it. He could be the Al Sharpton of Mormondom.
But the other interesting switch was Neil L. Anderson. So he was one who was a Republican, but he decided to be to go to unaffiliated. I didn't picture Elder Anderson being the one to go rogue.
Is it fair to assume that they're now libertarian?
I was hoping for the Peace and Freedom Party.
Isn't that what unaffiliated really means, Jeff?
Green Party. They're all Nader supporters.
Hey, this is no time for jokes.
They love the Nader. Hey, where's Ralph? Ralph, what about Ralph? Shut up, Ralph.
Let's see.
So that happens, but I think it's interesting to track the political affiliations of leadership in the church, and I wonder if unaffiliated, is that the new Democrat? Like, do they not want to pull the trigger on being Dems anymore, so they're just being unaffiliated? Does it really mean they're Tea Partiers, and the Republican Party is not conservative enough for them anymore? Is that what
I feel like we need to speculate. We should write articles about how... And cite this as a source claiming that they've joined.
No,
like,
we are supposed to gossip on this show. That's what we do, according to people who've never listened to it before.
Wait, we gossip?
We talk about who's pregnant, like Mormons.
Wait, who did you hear that from? Who did you hear?
The source doesn't matter. The point is, a non-Mormon who has never heard our show believes that what we do is gossip and talk about Mormons who get pregnant out of wedlock. That's what we do. That's our brand.
Is that fair? Have we ever talked about Bristol Palin once?
I am renaming the show effective this week. This Week in Pregnant Mormons. Twip 'em.
That works for me. Hey, so we have this random story about a high school coach who allegedly kicked three girls off the team after they would not say a Mormon prayer.
What is a Mormon prayer exactly? As opposed to,
excellent question. Second, I don't think this actually happened the way the headline leads, especially after you read into the story a little bit.
And it's from Think Progress, so
yeah, the guy was. They were having a team prayer, and I'm assuming these people did not want to participate. They did not want to stand with them as they prayed. In my experience in sports, it's often sort of a round robin. Everybody takes turns saying a prayer thing. So if you're a Muslim. You are welcome to say a prayer however you would say it, but then you respect others' rights to say prayers as well. Or you could make some, like, Topanga moment if you prayed to some other entity. I would love to see
that. Oh, you mean the early years of Topanga before they decided to make her...
Yeah, like, it was like lipstick on the face. I think that's a pilot. Even.
Yeah, isn't it funny how Topanga was this weirdo, like a Wiccan or whatever, and then they said, like, let's make her normal and make her date Corey. We'll just forget all that wacky stuff. She's a normal girl now.
No, well, that's what happens, Jeff. Women change for men.
This did happen in Mesa, Arizona, though, folks. So, you know, where there is a substantial LDS population, or allegedly happened. But
there's allegedly an
LDS
population.
Is standing by the coach, though, either way, saying that, you know, the coach can defend things if they hurt team morale. And so, because apparently there have also been, according to the article, there have been incidents of the girls playing, you know, hip-hop music and stuff that the three plaintiffs, the naughty girls, liked, but that offended the sensitivities of the other girls, for example.
They played the ribbity rap.
I hope so.
Yeah.
They posted bad stuff on Twitter and social media. Apparently, they just don't gel with the Mormon girls on the team, is what it sounds like.
Hey, we've all had that Paul Walker type that's joined our sports team and not known quite what to do with them.
Oh,
haven't you seen surfing movies? This is what happens. Anyway,
it's unfortunate. I don't want to leave this just yet. If there's truth to it, though, I think it's very unfortunate. I understand team morale. Like, I get that. Like, if you got people who if there are many incidents at play, and they just don't want to get along with the rest of the team, and they cause problems. I understand that, but if it's just straight up, hey, we're all going to pray now, and they just say, no, we don't want to pray, I think people have a right to say they don't want to pray, and you shouldn't be kicked off a team for it, right?
To a degree, I think it's fine to say I don't want to pray, but you still participate with the team.
I mean, you could just bow your head and not care and go through the motions, right? But what if that's deep?
Or even if you stood in combined solitude behind the other players with your arms folded and sort of a pouty no. I'm okay with that too.
But what if it's deeply offensive to people? What if they just say like, no, I don't believe in these things that you're doing. I don't want a part of it. I want to be a part of a team, but I don't want any kind of this spiritual camaraderie because it's not for me.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Encouraging that, but if
no, if I were a coach and players approached me and said I'm deeply offended by this stuff, could we not do that? I would be fine with saying, you know, removing it completely, which was what makes me think that this isn't being particularly genuine in their reporting. Imagine that. We could, if we cared, contact the coach and get his side of the story. We don't care. We will not. We're just telling you that there's an article out there that mentions Mormons, and that's what's in it.
Okay.
That was our whole goal. Also, we found another goofy article from the Rexburg something. It's some satirical Rexburg, Idaho paper that was reposted on Millennial Mormons with old Samantha, whoever. And it talked about Tinder, how the church was going to make some play on Tinder. But as Jeff and I were discussing this, it got interesting because we found an actual LDS Tinder ripoff called LDS Matchup. Which, contrary to Tinder, there are no random hot girls on Tinder looking to hook up on the LDS matchup. We perused. I signed up and made an account because I'm the single one between us.
You gave it 5 minutes, and we really should have recorded it. It would be such a great
five video. Minutes. Maybe 100 profiles clicked through. It was 10. It was like going to a singles ward in Fresno. I would feel
like that.
Yeah, I mean, it just was not. I mean, it was kind of a scary moment in the beginning, and then got really sad towards the end. That's Fresno, wouldn't you say? That's Fresno. Scary in the beginning, sad at the end. So don't go on
the whole time.
Don't go on LDS Matchup. There's no one on there, and it's a sad place to be.
I disagree. I want everyone to go on LDS Matchup and then share their experiences with us.
Jeff is fascinated with the single life. I found the same thing when I was in Dublin with my buddies. They were all married, and they were like, wait, what is Tinder? So I spin up Tinder on there, and we're flipping through, and they're like, oh, my gosh, this is a game changer. What if I had – because, well, one, I was like – I was in beast mode with Irish women. They were all right swiping. I was like 100 for 100. I matched like crazy in Ireland. Ireland women love the Aldo.
Why didn't you meet any of them? Come on.
In Prague, I was not nearly as successful in my perusing. But like married people are just fascinated with the world because it's changed so much since you were single. Like the way that stuff happens now is just completely different.
That's true. I mean, just to understand just sort of the...
Jeff begged me to keep my profile. In fact, when we did our expose on dating, Jeff, I believe you still, from time to time, will go check in on random profiles that I have around the internet just to carry on fake conversations with women.
No.
Isn't it true?
Nope. That's not true.
I feel like you're only saying that again because your wife is sitting next to you.
No. No. There was a time when you, my friend, were on LDS Singles, and jointly you and I had been on there to peruse the ladies and see if there was anyone worthwhile for you. None of that has gone down for a very long time.
Jeff is the ultimate wingman, yes. It's true. He's constantly hunting for me.
I just want you to find love and have joy, and then you will stop saying inappropriate things about my marriage because you will understand what it's like, you callous man.
Jeff, let's be honest. The woman that finally decides that I'm an okay person to hitch their wagon to will be completely capable of handling my abrasive humor.
Here's the thing. Al lives in this ridiculous world where he believes that he will get married and in no way will he be altered through the course of marriage.
No, that's not true.
Which is, he thinks he's going to soldier on with his brashness and his braggadocio and just be the man that he's always been, and that will never, it will not morph in any way whatsoever. Oh, the things I could tell you, my friend. You
tell me, Jeff.
When you are with the woman you love and you understand each other, you become like as one. You just know each other. Things rub off. You will soften, Al. You will soften, and you will cease to be so filthy and communist.
I'm not that. What? Filthy and communist?
Yeah. Yeah.
I resent that, Jeff.
I resent all you want. I'm still the one that's married, so I don't care. Ha ha.
Yeah. You were just as much of a failure into this is why marriage advice is so ridiculous. Because everybody was just as much of a failure as all the rest of us until you finally
everyone's a
got
failure
some
until
random
you get married.
Stroke yeah. of luck.
Well, I did luck out. I mean, Danielle could have had any guy she wanted, and for some reason she decided to stick with me. And lucky me. Yeah. So it worked out.
All right, whatever. Quit being sappy.
I'm a sappy man. These are the things you don't know about me. I am a sappy, sappy man. I love the cuddles and the words and the sweet things.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, all I want to do is watch Nicholas Sparks movies and tell you how beautiful you look in your pajamas. That is
Jeff,
the man
I love Nicholas Cage movies, too. It doesn't make you weird. All right, continue on. I don't want to talk about you anymore.
Let's face it. I'm more interesting than you, but continue. Continue. Please.
Hold on.
Attempt to
last weekend, you went home teaching and watched TV with your wife. I went swimming with dolphins and jumping through tide pools along the ocean. Jeff, I feel like somehow.
Which you did because you don't have a wife, so you can run off to Hawaii. Whereas I get to experience the joy of marital bliss.
Yeah, I'm sure your wife would have hated if you took her to Hawaii.
She would. Danielle, do you want to go to Hawaii? She says no. She says that's the worst. What was that? The worst idea? Okay, the worst idea she's ever heard. And what was that? Thank you for being a wise husband who knows me so well to know that.
All right, I'm continuing.
I don't
want
to go to Hawaii.
There's an article.
Quiet woman.
There's an article about it's from Rational Face, and I really like this article. It's called
Let's get serious here.
Christ is not leading a petty church. Now, do you remember a few weeks ago, Jeff, when you broke the story about what was going to happen? Oh, the temple marriage, like you, that was going to change.
Yeah.
And you were going to get
there's
married.
There's been talk of changing
first.
All that. Sure.
So, a dear friend of mine, who will remain unnamed. Mentioned that she used this as fodder for, or like some of the people in her seminary class used this as fodder for what is not doctrine, how to not teach doctrine. And there's even some talk about how, because Jeff broke the news, because they got scooped on the story, that they probably reneged and have revoked that revelation and said to God, no, we will not do this thing that you wanted us to do, because Jeff Openshaw screwed it up. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
These were real conversations that happened.
I know.
People were genuinely alleging that had Jeff kept his pretty mouth shut, then all this would have just gone the right way it was supposed to.
And that's...
So this,
okay, fine.
Yeah. Yes, no, go ahead.
Well, as you say, and that's what this... This is an interesting piece, and that's kind of what this is about. And I was actually thinking about stuff like this week, and then this came out, how... Yeah, the church might do something amazing and progressive and cool, but then it's abandoned when a person or a group or whatever engages with the media regarding a church policy or procedure. And as the story goes, the interference sort of makes the church take a step back and not implement a policy. And then the church, you know, it might be 20 to 30 years until that is revisited and we do it again. So this article is interesting, and now I'm happy for you to take the baton whenever you want. And that's, like, if that's the case, this author is very troubled with that notion, under the assumption that that we could receive blessings, but they're held back because the church decides, no, we don't want to play that PR game or put off the... Like, I mean, this is clearly more referring to ordained women in this article. It has nothing to do with what I wrote about. But how it's like, hey, maybe the church was going to do some progressive stuff involving women's issues in the church, but because of ordained women, they don't want to be perceived as up against a wall and capitulating. So that,
which we've alluded to as being a problem, right? Sort of the idea that maybe now their chance or their opportunity is either to admit that they were, or like sort of concede that ordained women were right all along and give in to everything they want, or do nothing more, as though they were somehow.
Well,
being dictated by the like
what everybody else is thinking.
And taking a step back, can we agree though that might look bad from a strictly PR standpoint?
Sure.
It would look like the church caving to outside pressure.
But I think
even if it's
guy,
right, it would look like they're caving to outside pressure.
Who wrote this article? Who is this person?
A person named Jessica.
Old J. Dizzle. I agree with her, though, in that I think that's kind of silly to assume that the church would, like if the church was afraid of that, why wait until the civil rights movement to make their big, I just don't think that the church is worried so much about that perception of what if they're right.
But I think they're not what if someone is right, but I mean, look at the way ordained women, how they took things. I mean, yeah, they went to the media. They took that route instead to try to raise a ruckus. And so I do, even if it's unfortunate in some ways, I fully understand not wanting to appear like you are caving to the demands of a group. They might mask it all and say they're just asking. They weren't protesting. Every other euphemism we can think of. And to be clear, we don't totally knock ordained women. I think we're both grateful for the conversations we've had because of some things that have, we have discussions now about the stuff that we didn't have before, and that's a good thing. But, the church doesn't want to be seen like people can interfere from the outside, and that's going to shape doctrine or policy. And so it's a fine line. And it's funny because we were actually, Nyland McBain, remember we had Nyland on the show a few months ago? And Nyland had an event out here in D.C., so we headed off to it, and I actually got to meet her finally and visit with her.
Oh!
And
she's so sweet.
In one part, she actually mentioned, she talked about backfiring stuff from ordained women. And people at first didn't understand. They thought it meant it backfired on ordained women. And she said, no. What I mean is internally in the church, in that, and she, according to her sources, and this goes kind of along with the tale because no one ever names who they know, I think, out of, anonymity reasons. But according to people she knows inside, the church has had stuff planned that they might want to implement. I doubt it's female ordination, but just more stuff to plan. And she knows for a fact, because of blowback from ordained women, they're holding off on it for now. And so this does happen, I think, for very much for public relations reasons. But apparently it happens. I don't know. It doesn't make me totally uncomfortable because I also feel like the world, the Lord knows the long view. He knows these things are even going to go down. He might give a revelation that one thing needs to happen. And then because we are men and we are fallible and we do things, it gets delayed for a number of reasons until the right time. I mean, polygamy wasn't even implemented until way down the road. We have plenty of examples of things not taking place immediately after they were received, I believe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't think large issue items are going to be. Maybe they are. Maybe that's completely off base, but it just doesn't seem real, or it doesn't seem like a thing to me.
Well, if say what Nyland said is totally true, though, what do you say to that? How do you feel about that? If the church is deliberately holding off on something because of ordained women.
Well, if they're deliberately holding back on stuff so that it doesn't get lost in the news cycle, or so that it doesn't. So that it gets the attention that it needs in order to be successful, I'm fine with that. If they're holding off on it because they don't want to be seen as conceding ground to a movement that they don't necessarily agree with, I'm not okay with that.
Yeah. And they might even say, you could also say, is it conceding ground or is it them saying, well, we thought the ground was fertile for this, but given what's going on now, isn't the right time.
The ground is barren.
Yeah, you could just as well say, well, this was going to be the right time, but given everything that's transpired, no, it's not the right time. We need to revisit this down the road.
What could we possibly be talking about? What did Nyland say?
She did not offer specifics.
Jeff, you gotta really demand this stuff. We gotta know.
I should have just raised my hand the whole time and said, no, I want answers. Give it to me. Though I could have asked her in private, I guess, because we chatted a bit afterwards.
Oh my gosh. You love Nyland.
It's just that I care more about home teaching than that, so whatever. Whatever.
Let's see.
Likewise, speaking of ordained women things, this many of you saw a post we put up from about a week ago where John Dillon and Kate Kelly both sort of pontificated about excommunication, namely that John first published a post about basically saying, why was Kate Kelly excommunicated? Why have you not been?
And we have not been excommunicated. Yeah.
And so John offers his thoughts on it. And his was a response to the Slate magazine article all about, you know, sort of the Mormon moment that we talked about last week. And so he liked it, but he wanted to offer up why he feels it didn't happen to him.
And what did he say? Here's
the thing to John DeLynn's credit, and I hate it when people say this is because he's a man that this makes sense or whatever. I think John tries to offer what seem like objective just ideas about why this might have happened. Like, first off, that Kate Kelly and ordained women reach more people within and outside of Mormonism than like him and his podcast ever will. And I think that's true, obviously, more media attention. He thinks ordained women's actions on Temple Square were embarrassing to the church and people saw it as inappropriate. Sure.
That makes sense, yeah.
Some are more opinions, but he believes that the gender equality strikes fears in the hearts of patriarchy more than anything else. And moreover, that his claims are always like faith-based ones that you can't prove necessarily, but going after women's ordination is a bit different when it comes to gender equality. Timing, he thinks, benefited him in that there was a lot of backlash and negative feelings about what happened to Kate, so they kind of eased off a bit. John DeLynn also didn't really know his leadership, he says, when they called him in, and so he kind of called him on it and said, like, guys, really, and so they might have backed off. He said there might be male privilege. Honestly, that one's when he feels that bottom line is men are more inclined to cooperate with other men than they would be with women. And he does have friends in good, powerful places, and likewise has a lot of support locally in Cache Valley. Ask your questions. And then Kate wrote a response to that. But let's, Al, your thoughts first.
Well, I'm just, like, because we talked about this a little bit back in the day. And, I mean, really the big point that we settled, or that we kind of stared at for a long time was that, ordained women was actively trying to change people's ways of thinking and, like, convert them to a alternate line of reasoning that was not approved by the church, right? John DeLynn, on the other hand, like, he talks about stuff, but it's not like an organized curriculum. I'm honestly, like, in retrospect, I think it was the six discussions for ordained women.
Yeah, that was
the kicker.
That was the last.
Right? Like, I think everything else was sort of excusable as much as it can be. It's just like, all right. I mean, we don't all have to believe the exact same thing to be in this church. We're fine with that. But as they were actively trying to persuade people to a different line of reasoning was where they got in trouble.
Yeah.
And that was my impression.
No, mine too. I think for a while it was kind of a thorn in their side. Like, all right, we're kind of tired of dealing with this. But then when the six discussions came out, it seemed like they were creating their own. And I know they did it as sort of a tongue-in-cheek kind of wink at the old six missionary discussions. That's why they did it that way. And I don't think they plan on it backfiring and the church being like, yeah, you're kind of teaching your own doctrine now. Yeah. And we don't like that.
So what did Kate Kelly say? What was her take?
And so I think for the most part, John, and the main point about John is that a lot of what John says is he says, like, these are my feelings on the matter. Like, I might be wrong about some of this, but this is kind of like, this is how I feel about it. Kate Kelly presents everything as fact, which I don't know. I guess personally it irks me that she never leaves any room for, this is my interpretation of things, but I'm open to be proving wrong. It's always just, this is
my impression.
This is, period. She says, number one, he's a man. Number two, he's a man. Number three, he's a man. Number four, he's a man. Then number five are mostly reiterations of other ones John said. Like, his issues are easier to circumvent.
He's a man, he's a man, he's a man, he's a man.
And that Mormon Stories is not an activist organization, which is true. And then John's discipline kind of comes back solely to him. This is one where I will always feel uncomfortable in that, like, Kate Kelly's own parents had their temple recommends taken away, which is kind of weird. Just for, like, supporting her. And then it's kind of funny, if you do want to have gripes.
No, is that real?
Yeah, that happened. And then if you want to have gripes about patriarchy and things like that, her own husband, who built the ordained women's site, who's actively involved in it, has never received any kind of discipline. And he's even said, like, why aren't you disciplining me if you're disciplining my wife? And that's a fair point to bring up, I think. I think that seems like there's some sort of uneven standards or metrics being used in this instance. I mean, for sure. I mean, no, I mean, Kate is the figurehead. She's the leader. I get
that. Well, but. Because, I mean, I think it's important to note that, that other members of ordained women were not excommunicated.
No, but some of other ones have been disciplined, though. I mean, it's not like she's like, she's not.
It's because they had that form letter to write in and say, discipline me, baby.
Well, even before that, though, there were a number. But the one thing is, it has been inconsistent. And you could see both sides of this. You could say, well, that's because this isn't directed by Salt Lake. You have local leaders in different areas reacting in different ways. Fair. Or people could just say that, that if it is orchestrated by Salt Lake, they're just being inconsistent with what they do and don't do.
Well, we don't believe that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it is.
I don't know. But they're interesting pieces to read. It's still
Jeff
it's,
wrote a good summary on it.
Thanks. It still just gets on me that Kid Kelly seems to be incapable of any form of contrition, I find. I feel like it would do her wonders in her quest if she would come off as more human and less lawyer-like. I get that she's a lawyer, but you can't use those tactics.
She's got it's the Mitt Romney problem. You know what I'm saying? It's the Mitt Romney problem. So
she doesn't do a good Mitt face, though. You know, the Mitt smile, the Mitt beam.
Yeah. Moving on, have you've continued to hear rumors of Mitt running in 2016, yes?
There's always just rumors, but who knows?
Is it going to happen, Jeff?
No, he's going to bow out and Ann will run.
Who will?
Ann versus Hillary. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Doesn't Ann have multiple sclerosis?
Yes, she does have MS. So there's that to consider, but Jeb Bartlett did it.
This is a classic West Wing conundrum. Ugh. Of course I'm going to vote for Bartlett. Of course.
Okay. Let's both write in. No matter what, who runs in 2016, we will both write in Jed Bartlett, okay?
Deal.
Or Matt Santos.
Did you know? Yeah, Santos for president. Did you know that Joseph S. Smith was kidnapped? I believe
he was successful.
Oh, he was to have
He was
kidnapped.
Targeted for kidnapping. He was not kidnapped. Was okay.
I'm sorry. He was targeted. Yeah. The plan was to kidnap him. They wrote about this in papers.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there's a thing. Russell M. Nelson was I think we've mentioned this before, but he was captured in Africa.
Well, he was this was a couple of years ago in Mozambique. Yeah, they some people broke into their mission president's house in Maputo in Mozambique and attacked him. Yeah.
He was taken and they called Elder Oaks. He called Elder Oaks as he was being taken, and Elder Oaks said, I need you to put the phone on speaker and yell out as many identifying features as you can, and then you'll be taken. And then the guy I got on the phone, he said, I have a very unique set of skills that make people like you hate me.
Yes.
I will come for you. I will find you.
And I will,
and
kill you.
Naturally, Dallin H. Oaks, I'm sure it was him, rescued Elder Nelson. But apparently, like, this hasn't happened very often. There's some good folklore around Joseph Smith attempting to be captured and caught a few times. Brigham Young had a few instances around that. And then I think we were pretty much laying low. I don't know if there's been many terrorist-style attacks on apostles, even.
The most recent one I can you had Elder Nelson, but the famous one was Howard W. Hunter. When he was speaking at the Marriott Center, a guy approached the podium and said he had a bomb. That was this big old thing back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. And he got, tackled by football players.
Yeah. So that happened.
The other one in Saratov, Russia. It was obviously that movie.
Yeah, that movie wasn't that good.
Hey, it was on Netflix.
I know. I finally watched it on that. Also, a bit of side note trivia. Al, who was the only church president to complete, or to die, because he completed his run as prophet in exile?
In exile?
Yeah. Not living in Salt Lake City, but hiding out from, basically hiding from the feds.
Wilford Woodruff.
You are incorrect.
David O. McKay.
No, sir.
Who was it?
John Taylor. John Taylor presided over the church in exile.
Really?
Yeah. He's also the only church president. He was also the only church president born outside of the U.S.
The Englishman. What was he in exile for? What did they want him for?
I think it was polygamy-related stuff.
He just wasn't giving it up.
Yeah, it was only for 2.5 years, so maybe he didn't die in exile, I remember.
What do you mean, only for 2.5 years?
2.5
That's
years.
That's longer than the mission we served, Jeff.
Okay.
Where do you go? Do you go to Mexico?
I don't know where he actually was. I don't think he was.
Were we a Mexican church for no? Still to this day, they haven't found his body. Isn't that true?
Yeah, that's what it is. Come on.
Let's see. There was a car crash near a temple, which has since become a car crash at the temple, which has since become a car crash into the temple.
Inside the temple now. And now it is actually someone on a Segway inside the temple wiped out.
Crashed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so not news, but there was a traffic incident near
Lubbock, the temple. Lubbock, Texas, folks. There was a fatality, though. I believe someone actually crashed into like the outside fence of the temple is what it turns out, but not into the temple itself.
There's some really bad joke on the tip of my tongue about people dying to get in there, but I can't quite put it together. I wouldn't do it. It's classless. It's not classless.
Everyone, I would like to remind you that now is the time for Times and Seasons' own Mormon of the Year once more. And you must
remember when we won that last year, and then out of nowhere, who was it? Like Joshua Archuleta or some ridiculous name.
Darius Gray, the founder of the Genesis Group, wound up winning it last year.
Son of a gun. How did he beat us?
This year, unfortunately, everyone...
Mormon feminists beat us too, though.
Everyone appears to be nominating Kate Kelly.
No.
That was the question. People said, yeah, she's not Mormon anymore. Can she still be nominated? Good old Kent assures us. Kent Larson, the one of the editors there. She is still eligible. Want to hear a terrible story? I had a dream with Kent Larson last night. I believe I was reading about Mormon of the Year stuff as the last thing before I went to bed last night. That's the only way this possibly happened. I had a dream that I was for some reason in Kent's house, but he didn't look like he looks. He had a long mane of hair like a dirty Fabio, and he was married to a Spanish woman, and all his kids spoke Spanish. Kent, you're going to love this. Kent listens to the show, so I hope you're enjoying this, Kent. I dreamed about you. But the reason I was there, apparently, is because I hacked into his WordPress account, and I was changing the wording in his posting about the Mormon of the Year to add a sort of reference like, Jeff and Al of This Week in Mormons would be a great one because they're amazing, by the way. And then I said, it's like, oh, no, I'm going to get caught. And it was all this scandal. And this, I dreamt about this. I don't even personally care if we are Mormon of the
Year. I call it a fantasy, but yes.
It's a sweet, sweet fantasy, baby.
How are we not nominated in there? I want to know.
And nominations must be seconded, everyone. So you have to go on to Times and Seasons. We'll post the link. And you have to say, I want these guys. And then someone else has to do it too.
All right.
So everyone do it, because otherwise Kate Kelly's going to win. And it's going to be like that year when Time did their Person of the Year and it was YouTube. I mean, come on. We can't have that happen again.
Well, do we want to lose to Kate Kelly?
I would rather lose to Kate Kelly than not lose at all.
Okay.
Actually, I would rather beat Kate Kelly, but then not announce it for fear of people taking it the wrong way.
So in 2008, it was Mitt Romney. 2009, it was Harry Reid. The pendulum really swung there. 2010 was Elizabeth Smart. 2011, it was Jimmer. 2012, it was Mitt Romney again. Every year he runs, he's got a great PR machine with the
Times. I can't wait until 2016. It's going to happen again.
Then Darius Gray. And now we want to put up in the echelons of Jimmer Fredette, Kate Kelly.
What we can take from this is all the previous winners have been active Mormons, and this might go to an excommunicated Mormon, which is interesting. If it goes that way. Bear in mind, while they say it's democratic with nominations, their editorial board still sort of does whatever they want.
Yeah, thanks for the suggestion.
It's kind of like the popular vote versus the electoral college, right? Basically the same idea. Other than that, do you want to do the Mormon gift guide or do you want to go home, Al?
No.
Or dancing. Or sticking it to the capitalists.
Hold on. What was the dancing one?
Dancing was just a nice story. I'm trying to post more nice stuff. Where a bunch of kids at Jordan Valley School had a dance and danced primarily with special needs students. So all the Mormon kids got together and held a dance to dance with special needs kids and give them a nice dance.
That is nice.
Well, it is nice. Good for the kids.
Yeah, I like that. And the sticking it to the capitalists?
That's from a British paper, which have you seen the He is the Gift ad, Al, the video?
Yes. Yes, of course.
So they play this, and they say, the Christmas ad that shames all others. Mormons stick it to the commercial capitalists. Forget all other Christmas ads. This unassuming Mormon offering might have just won the internet. Basically saying, if you watch this, and then afterwards you go out and try to find another Cyber Monday deal, you are a bad person.
Okay.
Mormons won, capitalists nil.
Well, good. I'm glad we won.
Which means the Mormons are aligned.
On that note, I feel like
socialists.
I feel like winning the internet is where we want to be.
Well, we're trying so hard at it. So hard.
I mean, all these hashtags, we don't even know how this goes.
I know. Well,
all right, Jeff. Well,
I'm prepared
what a delightful
say goodbye
week it's been with you. I'm glad that you got to home teach and
you.
Be with your wife doing little things.
Thank you. Those are the things that matter.
Now, from the shadows of the everlasting hills.
Everyone, go join us on Facebook. Join us on Twitter. Join us on Instagram. Disagree with us for all we care. We just want to have you there. That's all that matters. Make these things happen. Make them a reality. And leave us reviews
also,
on iTunes.
Also, email us. Email us at contact@thisweekinmormons.com. And you should also go to thisweekinmormons.com and leave a comment. Jeff, we had a couple that were emailed in. Oh, did you see the guy that emailed in? He found weird Mormon pop song parodies, which was kind of, the post was interesting. It was just some random dude that was like playing on YouTube and started finding Mormon youths that had redone popular pop songs in Mormon versions.
Yeah.
This is kind of unique to us, isn't it? As a Mormon culture, the idea that we will take like, I don't know, whatever the song, Taylor Swift, Shake It Off, and we'll rewrite it as like, keep them standards, keep them standards.
Yeah, we like to reappropriate everything we can. And I still hate the All About That Book parody of All About That Bass, primarily because I say, what are you missionaries doing knowing this song and wasting your time making this video?
Yes. So anyway, on that note, goodbye, everybody. Thanks for everything.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening to This Week in Mormons. Have a good week. Talk to you later. Maybe we'll have our guest on. We'll see what happens. I don't know.
See you, Jeff.
Bye, guys.
Never seen an Amelie in the flesh. I cut my teeth on conference talks and Disney movies. And I'm not proud of my mistakes, but I know I grow when I learn from them. And everybody's like piercing statues, coffee in the morning, short skirts, curse words, no mentions of good works, we don't care. We're driving minivans everywhere, and every Mormon's like pure heart, white shirt, clean music and media, fun times, no crime, chastity and lots of kids, and we know children of God, and so we'll always be Mormons, jamming at the stake dance. The kind of fun is just supreme. You other Mos know what I mean. Let me listen to some motel.
Buy this pizza now.